This is The Radical Therapist, a space where we explore the intersections of collaborative therapy, philosophy, art, and science and technology in a post-Freud, post-psychology world.
Welcome to The Radical Therapist. We are now at episode number 45, and my name is Chris Hoff. And thank you for listening. I guess I'm just going to start this one by saying there's been a little break in episodes. I'm very sorry about that. Life has just pulled me in a different direction for a little while, as I'm sure you all can understand. And I'm happy to say that I'm in process of lining up a lot of great guests, and we'll have a lot of new content coming at you soon. So stay tuned for all of that. I won't tell you what's coming, but a lot of good stuff's coming your way. So, and I appreciate your patience and those loyal listeners that tune in all the time. Thank you for that. And I'm going to stay on it and keep delivering some great voices your way. And hopefully you'll like what's happening. So anyway, yeah, I guess I don't have a lot to say. Today we're talking about, I'm pulling some the audio off a video I did on YouTube. And if you have not been to the Radical Therapist YouTube channel, you need to get over there and subscribe. Hit the bell so you get notified when new videos come up, because I have a new video. The script is being written as we speak. Spent some time on it today. And please go get over to the Radical Therapist YouTube channel. There's a lot of great videos up there, a lot of interesting comments. If you want to tread into the dark alleyway that is YouTube comments, that's always fun. But yeah, go check it out. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the bell so you get notified. And leave a comment and let me know you're there. I'd appreciate it. But this is from a video that I did that has only about 300 views yet, and I get a lot more listens on the podcast, a lot more than that. And so I thought I would share it here, and it's on the myth of chemical dependency. But before we get there, just a couple of things. The Radical Therapist is going to be, we're going to be doing a live thing, kind of a brief presentation at the American Family Therapy Academy conference coming up on July 21st, 22nd, 23rd. I hope I'm getting those days right. I think it's those days are right. Thursday through Saturday in Austin, Texas, the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And there's a special post-conference workshop on the 24th. But go to the AFTA.org website, and on Friday afternoon, we will be doing a live Radical Therapist, Radical Roundtable. So Veronica and Lauren are going to be there for sure, and I think Bryson is trying to make his way there, so we'll see what happens. But at least three of us will be there from the Radical Roundtable, and we're going to do a little live broadcast from there, so to speak. It'll be recorded and I'll throw it up here, but we're going to talk about podcasting, talk about therapy and podcasting, family therapy and podcasting, and all that kind of stuff, and whatever else questions people might have, that kind of thing. So that'll generate that. That's coming up really quickly here. So if anybody's going to be in Austin for that, reach out, say hi, let me know, come to our presentation. It'd be great to see you. And that's coming up. So looking forward to that. And you know, if you could, you could support the podcast really by going to iTunes right now on whatever device you're on. Go to iTunes, rate and review the show. That's how we get in front of people, I guess. Leave a comment or on there. And I'm going to start reading the comments, I think. I was listening to another podcast where they do that. Like, they read the comments. So I thought that was pretty clever. But go ahead and do that, and that would be really helpful. We would appreciate that. Come follow us, me, on Instagram at The Radical Therapist. I'm on Twitter. I still don't understand Twitter. I'm trying to figure out Twitter. I'm trying to do Twitter more conversational. I'm trying to figure out how to do it more conversational, because I don't want to just send links to whatever I'm releasing at that moment. I think you got to do more than that to do Twitter, but I don't know. It takes time, and I don't have any of that right now. But yeah, so Twitter at the Rad Therapist, and then of course the website at theradicaltherapist.com, and Facebook page. Come like the Facebook page at the Radical Therapist. I'm going to try to keep content coming up on that. Probably going to start doing some live video stuff or some just kind of more casual video stuff on the Facebook page. So you might want to check that out. Anyway, so. And, as, of course, if you want a T-shirt or stickers or something, if I have them left, I'll always have stickers. But if I have T-shirts left, and I do have them now, I will send them to you. Just shoot me an email, theradicaltherapist@gmail.com. Or just if you want to talk to me, have a question. I'm trying to get caught up on all of that. I am getting emails. I just spent this today responding to emails, some of them. a little old, I apologize, but I've been getting to them, and that's always fun to chat with people that are listening to the show and being having something resonate from the show or something somebody said or I said, what have you, and that's always exciting, and I appreciate that, so please keep doing that. But anyway, so more content coming. Please support the show. Go to the YouTube channel, subscribe and like, and hit the bell button. Go to iTunes, rate and review the show. Be very much appreciated. And if you're going to be in Austin in late June for the AFTA, the American Family Therapy Academy Conference, please say hello. Come check us out for our live Radical Therapist podcast that we're going to be doing on Friday afternoon at that conference. I'm excited about that. It'll be fun. So anyway, so this one's on the myth of the chemical imbalance. And I tell a little story to get it started about one of the trainees at my clinic bringing it up. But this one's tackling the chemical imbalance idea in mental health, and any feedback would be appreciated. If you want to get the visual, it's pretty good. Go to the YouTube channel. But anyway, without further ado, let's talk about the myth of the chemical imbalance. A few weeks back, one of the therapist trainees at the clinic I direct texted me from a class she was attending at her psychology graduate program and said that the guest lecturer was linking the cause of depression to people having a chemical imbalance. She remembered I had mentioned in supervision once that the premise of a chemical imbalance is a myth that keeps on propagating in psychology and counseling programs by folks that should know better. We shouldn't be too hard on that particular psychology professor for continuing to advance the myth of a chemical imbalance as the cause of depression in many folks. According to Scientific American, much of the general public and psychology professionals and students seem to have accepted the chemical imbalance hypothesis uncritically. For example, in a 2007 survey of 262 undergraduates, psychologist Christopher France of Cleveland State University and his colleagues found that 84.7% of participants found it likely that chemical imbalances cause depression. Unfortunately, this explanation that continues to sustain is false. In reality, depression cannot be boiled down to an excess or deficit of any particular chemical or even a suite of chemicals. According to Scientific American, no studies have established a cause and effect relation between any brain dysfunction and the disorder. In addition, depression almost certainly does not result from just one change in the brain or environmental factor. A focus on one piece of the depression puzzle, be it brain chemistry, neural networks, or stress, is short-sighted. So why does this chemical imbalance narrative seemingly have so much strength? Psychology and philosophy writer Olivia Goldhill believes it's due to psychiatry's attempt over the past half century to portray depression as a disease of the brain, casting aside the social factors that contribute to depression, such as isolation, poverty, oppression, or tragic events. This narrative privileges pharmaceutical treatments, leaving non-pharmaceutical treatments, such as therapy and exercise, to play second fiddle to drugs. Now, the debate on the efficacy of medications for the treatment of depression are beyond the scope of this video. However, I will say that Olivia Goldhill, in her piece, that I will link in the notes, references the work of Irving Kirsch, Associate Director of the Program in Placebo Studies at Harvard Medical School, whose work showed that there's very little difference between antidepressants and placebos. They're slightly more effective than placebo, and the difference is so small, it's not of any clinical importance. Kirsch now advocates non-drug-based treatments for depression, pointing to studies that show that while drugs and therapy are similarly effective in the short term, in the long term, those who don't take medication seem to do better and have a lower risk of relapse. On the other hand, having said that, it can be argued that many people respond well to antidepressants, and that the reason drugs become so popular is in a large part because many patients benefited from them and experienced significantly reduced depressive symptoms. Confusing, I know, but this confusion can make room for possibilities. Now, I have no interest in trafficking and pharma trade, but as a clinician, I'm interested in discovering how these medications have helped or not helped. And if someone should come to me carrying the chemical imbalance metaphor, rather than pointing out the errors of their ways, I am more interested in honoring what they experience this particular narrative to be doing for them, how it might be giving them ground to stand on, or how it might be making other considerations possible, like not feeling alone in the struggle against depression, for example. So finally, what might the chemical imbalance narrative blind us to? Goldhill writes that depression is now a global health epidemic affecting 1 in 4 people worldwide. Treating it as an individual medical disorder, primarily with drugs, and failing to consider the environmental factors that underline the epidemic, such as isolation and poverty, bereavement, job loss, long-term unemployment, and sexual abuse, is comparable to asking citizens to live in a smog-ridden city and using medication to treat the diseases that result instead of regulating pollution. So in other words, this chemical imbalance narrative can continue to distract us from working toward the substantial societal changes that engender a higher quality of life, like safe and affordable housing, racial and gender equity, meaningful employment, strong local communities to combat loneliness, all of this leading to communities that have fewer mental health issues and that would be ultimately far more productive for our society. Okay, that was it. I hope you enjoyed that. That was short and sweet. And like I said, you could catch that on the YouTube channel. Just Google The Radical Therapist on YouTube and it'll come up, I'm sure. And go subscribe, please. And anyway, like I said, please reach out if you have any questions. Thanks for, you know, always listening and supporting the show. I got more content coming. Again, apologize for the little break, but we got stuff coming at you. I think you're going to appreciate, and it'll be a good year. I'm having intention of a good, solid, radical therapist year. So anyway, as always, my name is Chris Hoff. This has been The Radical Therapist. Thanks for listening.